Hate won't win. Repeat, hate won't win. Those were the words of Alana Simmons, granddaughter of the Reverend Daniel Simmons, who was viciously murdered at a prayer meeting at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Hate won't win. Those were the words of a woman deeply committed to her Christian faith, even its very hardest requirements. Hate won't win, she said. Love will. Ah, what a woman. There are many four-letter words in the English language, and really too many. In fact, the slang four-letter word connotes something negative, vulgar, even unsocial. And one of the most vicious four-letter words of all is hate. Hate. Hate is vindictive, vengeful, malicious, and, at its extreme, murderous. Extreme hate can and often does lead to murder. That's true. As it did in the case of the Reverend Daniel Simmons in Charleston, South Carolina, the hate of one man, white, led to the death of 9 precious human beings, black. Dylan Roof hated blacks, hated them so much that he set out on a murderous spree to act out that hate, actualize that hate, all for the purpose of murdering innocent blacks, strong, loving, Christian blacks, and even more violent and malicious, loving blacks who were worshiping their Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow, what a man. Perhaps that is a most vicious kind of hate crime. Hate at work. Unbelievable. 9 innocent blacks were slaughtered. Dylan Roof, the accused murderer, was tracked down in North Carolina, having fled South Carolina after the massacre, arrested, and taken to a courtroom. It's unbelievable. One by one, the survivors and families of the innocent victims stood before Dylan Roof in court, and they told him he had hurt them, and amazingly, one by one, each said that they forgave him. Forgave him? Oh, my gosh, unbelievable. One by one, each family member verbalized and displayed the most powerful four-letter word in the English language. You know the real good four-letter word? Love. 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 Instead of the worst four-letter word, hate. Hate. We are the family that love built, said Bethane Middleton Brown, the sister of the Reverend DePayne Middleton, only 49 years old, when he was viciously murdered by Dylan Roof. Those who remained were indeed the remaining family that love built, and they were willing to take vicious murder, which could well justify their very own hate, and see that as an opportunity. Isn't this unbelievable? As an opportunity to display extreme love. I'm telling you, that really gets to my heart. I hope it does to yours. We have no room for hate, so we have to forgive, said M.S. Middleton Brown. We have no room for hate, none whatsoever. That family that love built would show that love, the love of Jesus Christ, to this vicious murderer. Wow, what people. Fantastic. Love, they believed, conquered hate, including this vicious Dylan Roof hate. And then came Nadine Collier, the daughter of victim Ethel Lance, 70 years old, murdered by Roof, murdered by him. And she said, I just want everyone to know, I forgive you, Mr. Roof. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people, but, I forgive you. Wow. Wow. Just praise the Lord. Just an unbelievable expression of Christian love. At its best, these are very special people. Their testimony is incredible. It should reverberate all over America. And we, who have the privilege of hearing what they have to say, should become far better people and Christians and moral and make certain that this lesson is learned and learned deeply. This Dylan Roof, a white man, had been welcomed with open, loving Christian arms by these black Christians who were about the business of Bible study. Bible study. One such studier was Felicia Sanders, who, thank God, survived the attack along with her young granddaughter. As M.S. Sanders addressed Dylann Roof in court, she said, hear these words, my friends. You have killed some of the most beautiful people that I know. Every fiber in my body hurts, and I will never be the same. I will never be the same. May God have mercy on your soul. Not that I wish you were dead, not that I hope you get the electric chair, but may God have mercy on your soul. Hey, again, they said, these incredible African-American Charleston people, Christians, they said, hate won't win. Hate won't win. God bless them. And more. Anthony Thompson, the grandson of Myra Thompson, 59 years old, said that he and his family forgave Mr. Roof and urged him to repent and turn his life over to Jesus Christ. Wow. How about that? Repent and turn over your life to Jesus Christ. What an incredible testimony, and so very true. An even more unbelievable loving testimony at work. Here sat a man guilty of one of the most egregious sinful acts possible. Murder. Indiscriminate murder. And up steps Anthony Thompson, concerned for the soul of Dylann Roof. I mean, it's just incredible. And not at all concerned with vengeance. Not vengeance. Urging Mr. Roof to repent. And he himself urged him to turn his life over to Jesus Christ, to be born again, to know forgiveness available through Christ, even in the face of vicious, hateful acts. Murder, Dylann Roof murder. Repentance and forgiveness was available through Jesus Christ, said this unbelievable man, Anthony Thompson. Well, love at work, supreme love at work. One can only wonder the reactions of Roof, who listened to the proceedings through a video link-up from a detention center. Christianity at its very best at work. Don't you agree? And a Justice Department spokeswoman said the following, "This heartbreaking episode was undoubtedly designed to strike fear and terror into this community, and the department is looking at this crime from all angles, including as a hate crime." Hate crime? Are you kidding me? "And as an act of domestic terrorism." Well, I vote for both. It was all of that and more. That a man could enter a house of worship, the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, one of the nation's most historic African American houses of worship, sit for 1 hour listening, welcomed by his victims, and then pull out a .45 caliber handgun and begin a massacre of these innocent individuals one by one, loading and reloading that gun multiple times to murderously act out his hate. Oh, my gosh. Indescribable. After ranting and railing against blacks who he alleged were taking over the country and raping white women. Huh? What? Roof deliberately left one person alive to share his motivations, his insane irrationality for the killings, and of course his hatred for blacks. That's the real reason. And this murdering young man was left with a challenge to repent, to change, and to be forgiven, and turn over his life to Jesus Christ. Perhaps the only hope this young man would ever have to know the forgiveness which could be his. What a story. Isn't it incredible? The murderous acts become even more unconscionable when Dylann Roof told investigators that he was indeed responsible for the killings and that he considered not going through with his plan. Let me repeat that. He considered not going through with his plan because everyone at the church was so kind to him. Oh, God bless them. God bless these poor victims. These 9 people had welcomed him, a white man, opening arms and Bibles to him in the spirit of the loving Christ, and he murdered them. No matter, they said, No matter, these incredible African-American Christians said, no matter, it's time to heal. It's time to heal. That was verbalized by church member Rene Ross. It's time to heal. Did you hear that, America? Did you hear that, America? It's time for black and white to heal. So said the Charleston victims. The grandfather of Dylan Roof, himself a lawyer, C. Joseph Roof, was aghast, shaken to the core when he and the Roof family found out about the murders. The Roof family later released this statement. They said, "The Roof family would like to extend their deepest sympathies and condolences to families of the victims in the shootings at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. Words cannot express our shock, grief, and disbelief as to what happened that night. We are devastated and saddened by what occurred. We offer our prayers and sympathy for all of those impacted by these events." That's a good statement, okay? That's good. More love from these loving Christian survivor men and women. They extended love and concern to the family of the killer. Oh my gosh, what a lesson in Christian love, is it not? These brutalized African-American Charleston Christians extended their love to the family of the killer. Is this a first or what? How good it would be if our nation, all of us, really got this message, a message of love, forgiveness, repentance, openness, sharing, and caring. All of that came pouring forth as a result of vicious, hateful, murderous acts. Wow, incredible. But there was one perhaps not so forgiving, and that was South Carolina Republican Governor Nikki Haley, who said point blank that the alleged gunman, Dylan Roof, should face the death penalty. Governor Haley said the following, "We will absolutely want him to have the death penalty." Well, okay, I guess that's just and that's right. Maybe that is exactly what should happen. I suppose a lot of other people, perhaps not as loving as the victims of the 9 murdered, they'd feel the same way. You know, an eye for an eye. Perhaps Roof will be convicted, receive the death penalty, and ultimately be executed. That'll take a whole lot of time. Somehow I have the feeling that there would be no sense of satisfaction in the hearts of the loving survivors should that occur. And for them, it is not an eye for an eye, but rather love for hate. Love for hate. But the Love Fest and reconciliation efforts went even further. Community leaders and parishioners all across Charleston vowed to build racial accord in the wake of the killings of 9 black members of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. A lot of people expected us to do something strange and break out into a riot. Well, they just don't know us. They just don't know us. Wow, incredible. They don't know us because we are a people of faith. May I repeat that? They don't know us because we, the victims of this tragedy, are a people of faith, i.e. Christian love. Incredible people. Boy, would I love to meet them. And those were the words of Reverend Norvell Goff, said from the pulpit of the church as he praised the city for responding with love and compassion, not riots. And as the memorial service ended, Charleston citizens, black and white, sang the song with passion and praise. Amazing grace. Ah, it is absolutely amazing indeed. For it seemed that everywhere there was indeed amazing grace at work. And how sweet was that sound. That grace had saved wretches like you and me, and them, and all the world over. And it was that very grace which should call Dylan Roof to repentance and consequently forgiveness, so they said. But it was also that amazing grace which should also have national socially redeeming impact. What would it be like to have black and white together on a much larger scale than this black and white church in Charleston? Wouldn't that be incredible? Those were the words of a white minister in Charleston, determined more than ever to act in love so that the tragedy would be an inducement for racial harmony and not riots. It just seemed incredible how this great, historic southern city, Charleston, had responded with love and not violence. Perhaps the lessons of Ferguson and Long Island, ugly, hateful, black and white riots were learned in Charleston, where hate and hateful acts were turned into love and loving acts. God bless them. That kind of amazing grace, said the families of the Charleston victims, was possible only through the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. This is what they said, the Charleston black victims. That kind of amazing grace was possible only through the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. What a testimony. So it was not just forgiveness and better racial harmony, but forgiveness, repentance, and the love of Jesus Christ, a much higher spiritual thing. How often should we forgive? Disciples asked Jesus of Nazareth. His answer? 70 times 7. Now, I think that adds up to 490 times. Have you ever forgiven anybody 490 times? It's hard for me to forgive people twice. In short, said Jesus of Nazareth, don't ever stop forgiving. Don't stop. For if you don't forgive, said the Lord, then God cannot and will not forgive you. You know, like quid pro quo, spiritual quid pro quo. Black Charleston Christians knew and believed in that message and practiced those teachings. They knew well, I am sure, the words of the Apostle Paul in the Bible book 1 Corinthians, that there are three great things in life, namely faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, and all others, said Paul, is love. Love. These Charleston Christians knew that, and they practiced that in every way. 21-year-old Dylan Roof, hateful killer, hoped to incite a nation to riot. I think he really hoped to do that. And further murder with his bloody rampage. But the effect has been just the opposite. Just the opposite. Where other cities would have perhaps turned to violence, as in Ferguson, Missouri, and Long Island, New York, there was only love and faith and forgiveness in Charleston. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council said the following, where other cities would have set cars on fire, Charleston set faith ablaze. Faith ablaze. Amen. Michael Gerson wrote the following, the killer set out to defile a sacred place and ended up showing why it is sacred. Again, the killer set out to defile a sacred place and ended up showing why it is sacred. Beautiful. These victims and their families have shown what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. God bless them. Amen and amen. And even the New York Times, the New York Times was confounded by the compassion extended. The sense of wonderment spread across newspapers until forgiveness became the story. Not vengeance, not race riots, not more hatred, but forgiveness and love became the story. And one reporter said, it was as if the Bible study had never ended. Oh, doesn't that bless your heart? The Bible study had never ended. It was spiritual business as usual for these loving Charleston Christian blacks. Real Christianity at work, love conquering hate, an extreme example of turning the other cheek. God bless them. There comes to mind the admonition in Scripture for all mankind to do good. Do good to those who persecute you. Well, I mean, is there anything harder than that? It is just simply amazing. The good, the forgiveness offered by the families of the victims to this vicious killer. More love at work, more grace, more forgiveness. Amazing, amazing grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound, and may it reverberate all over America. Tony Perkins goes on to say that what happened in the basement of Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church is a frightening picture of a society that has lost its moral restraint. Perkins says that the same political class that is driving God out of the public square is systematically deconstructing the pillars of dignity, virtue, and respect. I think that's true. What do you think? The answer, Perkins says, comes from Charleston, the loving, forgiving, surviving Christian family members sending a message to America and the world that there is a critical need for a vibrant and public Christian faith in America, not just to restrain evil, but to conquer evil through the power of forgiveness. That is real Christianity at work. It is that real Christianity, vibrant, energetic, unapologetic, which should be revived in the public square, not removed. It is the answer. It's the answer, says Charleston, to America's problems, racial and otherwise. The problem, they say, is in the heart. The heart. A heart without love and prone to hate. It's the only answer. Hate produces massacres, whether in Charleston, Syria, Iraq, in fact, the world over. Only the love, says Charleston, only the love of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness he offers, the amazing grace of the Christ at work, can solve the problem. So many fully agree. Boy, so do I. How about you? Do you agree with that? This is really a great opportunity for us to examine our own lives, don't you think? We should look hard at our biases, prejudices, even our own hate. Perhaps it's there, whether direct or indirect, whether conscious or subconscious. Perhaps it's there. Look hard, my fellow Americans. Look hard. All those hatreds, whether or not we understand them, cannot be eradicated by an intellect, but only a heart full of love. Full of love. Charleston says, through the love of Jesus Christ. It is my hope for me and for you that we will be better agents of love and understanding and compassion, especially as we relate to those who are different. The words of the old gospel song are perhaps more apt than ever. Hear them. Red and yellow, black and white. They, all of them, are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children and all mankind of the world. I think that's the essence of the message from those black Christians in Charleston. What wonderful, beautiful, loving people. So if in fact this Jesus does love all the children of the world, no matter the color, and all mankind, as I believe he does. By the way, do you? So should we. As we live our lives, remembering and impacted by Charleston, we should never forget the words of the Apostle Paul. The greatest, no matter what the world is, the greatest of these, of all things, says Paul, the greatest of these is love.